Welcome, dear brothers and sisters. Before we begin, I just want to mention that we will again be celebrating communion. So if you haven't already, I invite you to get a piece of bread and a beverage as we listen to our first hymn. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, as we are taken back to that final week with Jesus and his disciples, we pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to you in a new way. Give us understanding and draw us ever closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love happy endings, don't we? So I imagine there's a part of us that would be just as happy to go from a joyous parade as Jesus entered Jerusalem straight to Easter Sunday and a risen Lord. But the thing is, for us to fully understand and appreciate the gift of Jesus in our lives, we can't just skip past all that happened. For us to really understand his sacrifice and all that he did, we need to hear the story. Now, not everybody is in agreement about all of the details, but we do have a sense of some of the things that happened during that week that can give us understanding. We learn, for example, that the day after Jesus comes to Jerusalem, he surprisingly cursed a fig tree. He was hungry. He came up to it expecting to find something for breakfast, and instead he found nothing but fig leaves, which were actually quite symbolic of the spiritually dead religious leaders of Israel at the time. And later, when Jesus arrived at the temple, he found the courts full of corrupt money changers. He began overturning their tables and clearing the temple, saying, "The scriptures declare my temple will be a house of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves." Are you starting to get a sense of why things changed so quickly and went south? Then on Tuesday morning, Jesus and his disciples passed a withered fig tree. And Jesus spoke to them about the importance of faith. And a living faith must bear spiritual fruit. Meanwhile, back at the temple, the religious leaders were quite upset at Jesus for establishing himself as this spiritual authority. And so they were very busy conspiring to get him arrested. Now, we don't know a whole lot about where Jesus was on Wednesday, but it's thought that he was probably resting that day. And meanwhile, the Jewish authorities were continuing to plot and scheme against him. It was clearly the quiet before a very big storm. And then we come to Thursday. Jesus and his followers were preparing to celebrate the Jewish Passover and Jesus' Last Supper.
Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him." So to the owner of the house he enters, the teacher asks, "Where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared for the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12.
Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he'd come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist.
Then he said, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightfully so. That is what I am. So if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I have laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. If you understand what I'm telling you, act like it and live a blessed life." When he had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is seen for who he is, and God seen for who he is in him. The moment God is seen in him, God's glory will be on display. In glorifying him, he himself is glorified. Glory all around. Children, I am with you for only a short time longer. You are going to look high and low for me, but just as I have told the Jews, I'm telling you, where I go, you are not able to come. Let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way I loved you. You love one another. This is how everyone will recognize you, that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other."
Let us pray. Dearest Lord, at the Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus gave a new commandment, to love one another as you have loved us. He made the ultimate sacrifice for us, and we confess that too often we discount or ignore how great that sacrifice really was. Forgive us, we pray, Lord, and free us from our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, in spite of our failings, let us never forget. Jesus said, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." And having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. Hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are loved and forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we remember that holy night, let us never forget that we too are invited to the table. And the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. And wherever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." So let us take the bread and the cup together. After their supper together, Judas the betrayer left as Jesus continued to teach the remaining 11 disciples. And later, Jesus and his disciples also left the upper room and went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed in agony to God the Father. Luke's gospel says that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Good Friday is the most difficult day of the Passion Week. In the early hours, Jesus was betrayed with a kiss by Judas and arrested. He was taken to the home of the high priest, where the whole council had gathered to begin making their case against him. And as Jesus' trial was getting underway, Peter denied knowing his master three times before the rooster crowed. And according to Scripture, Judas Iscariot, the disciple who betrayed Jesus, was overcome with remorse and hanged himself early that Friday morning. Meanwhile, Jesus endured the shame of false accusations, condemnation, mockery, beatings, and abandonment. And after multiple unlawful trials, he was sentenced to death by crucifixion, one of the most horrible and disgraceful methods of capital punishment known at that time. Before he was led away, soldiers spit on him. They tormented him. They mocked him and pierced him with a crown of thorns. Then Jesus carried his own cross to Calvary, where again he was mocked and insulted as Roman soldiers nailed him to the wooden cross. Jesus spoke from the cross, and his first words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And his last words were, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And that afternoon, Jesus breathed his last, and he died. That evening, Jesus' body was taken down from the cross and laid in a tomb where it was guarded by Roman soldiers. It wasn't until Saturday evening, as the Sabbath ended, that Jesus' body could be prepared for burial. And it was done by two men who had lived as secret followers of Jesus, afraid to make a public profession of faith because of their prominent positions in the Jewish community. But both were deeply affected by Christ's death. So they boldly came out of hiding, risking their reputations and their lives, because they had realized that Jesus was indeed the long-awaited Messiah. Let us pray. Merciful God, grant us the grace to endure the sufferings of the present time with our Lord's courage. Help us to overcome all that seeks to overwhelm us, confident of the glory that shall yet be revealed through Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." My friends, in spite of the uncertainty of these challenging times, we already know how the story ends. We know we serve a risen Savior, and that God never leaves our side. And now may Christ Jesus, who for our sake became obedient unto death, keep you, strengthen you, now and forever. May God be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.